you know, now people are just proudly doing Trump events. No big deal. And that feels different than 4 years ago. Certainly 8 years ago.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Wednesday, April 24th. Today, I'm joined by Teddy Schleifer to talk about the surprising dynamic of Silicon Valley money lining up behind Donald Trump, and which rich people of the Bay Area are gunning to raise money for the Republican nominee. Teddy also talks about the Democratic friends and former friends of RFK Jr.'s running mate, Nicole Shanahan, who are talking about ways to pressure Shanahan to drop off the third-party ticket just weeks after Kennedy picked her as his number two. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be. Are you tired of sleeping hotter than hell? I sure am. I sleep hot. There's something crucial about sleep that eludes us when we're too warm, too uncomfortable, and too caught in the web of our own thoughts to drift off. And while curiosity fuels our days, science tells us that cool sleep recharges our nights. That's where ChiliPad by Sleep Me comes in. Meet the bed cooling system that elevates the quality of human life through cool sleep. The ChiliPad bed cooling system is your new bedtime solution. I love it. It lets you customize your sleeping environment to your optimal temperature, ensuring you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. ChiliPad works with your existing mattress. It's a water-based mattress topper that continuously controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees, allowing your body to rest and recover. This isn't just about escaping the heat, it's also about optimizing your sleep for better health, more energy, and improved physical and cognitive performance, which I obviously need hosting a podcast. ChiliPads are designed for one or two sleepers, so if your sleep partner likes to sleep at a different temperature, or you only need it for one side of the bed, that's okay too, and we know that's crucial. Plus, you can schedule automated temperature changes to trigger deep sleep. But when I'm at home, ChiliPad solves those problems. So trust me on this one. Visit sleep.me/powers to get your chili pad and save up to $315 with code POWERS. This offer is available exclusively for Powers That Be listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today with free shipping and try it out for 30 days. You can return it for free if you don't like it with their sleep trial. Visit www.sleep.me/powers because you're not just investing in better sleep, you're creating a better life. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to the Powers That Be. I'm joined today by Teddy Schleifer to talk about what he usually talks about, which is big money in politics, philanthropy, etc., but also a theme that's been coursing through Teddy's reporting in recent years, which is the kind of drift of a lot of Silicon Valley money toward the right and toward libertarian causes, toward contrarian causes of the day, whatever they may be. And this obviously represents a departure from the Barack Obama years when I feel like most of the big tech money was firmly in the pockets of Democrats. Teddy, welcome to the show. I want to talk about Nicole Shanahan as part of this. That would be Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s running mate and what Democrats think about her jumping on the ticket. But first, I want to talk about some new reporting you have this week about some Silicon Valley bigwigs trying to organize a fundraiser for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What are you hearing?
So there are multiple efforts afoot by Silicon Valley bigwigs or people who just have ties to the industry to get Trump to do a big event in San Francisco or in the Bay Area. Previously unreported, but Puck subscribers can learn all about it. And you're totally right to kind of hit on the theme here, which is it feels easier to support Trump in Silicon Valley in 2024 than it did in 2020 or it did in 2016. The freak out over Peter Thiel's support for Trump in 2016 in Silicon Valley was ultimately about a $1.25 million donation that was made. And that caused, you know, news cycle after news cycle after news cycle, because it was so rare. Now you're seeing so many Silicon Valley personalities come out for Trump, or at least come out against Biden, that it feels rarer to support to be like vocally pro Biden right now in sort of certain, at least in certain corners of the tech industry. And I'm not, I don't want to overstate it. I feel like one challenge when I make this point is people say, you know, that we're over focusing on kind of the 0.001% here, and that your average VP at Google is still, you know, a normal who believes in climate change and H-1B visas and yada, yada, yada. But the fact that Elon Musk is not an aberration in the social class of people who are at the ultra high end, uppermost echelon of Silicon Valley society. And those people matter. I mean, those people are culture makers and trendsetters, and frankly, like, cast the stereotype by which the rest of America kind of thinks about Silicon Valley.
So who specifically is putting together these events or hopes to put together these events?
So one event, Peter, to plug a competing podcast here, is our friends from All In, the All In podcast, which is truly an incredible success story for anyone who wants to just like appreciate a media business that found product market fit. David Sachs and Chamath Palihapitiya, who are two of the hosts of or the besties on that show, are talking about doing a Trump event. It could be as soon as next month, is my understanding. Probably hosted by Sachs in San Francisco. There's also an event that seems a little bit less further down the line, but is at least being talked about in certain circles, being thrown by J.D. Vance and Blake Masters, the two Teal acolytes who ran for the Senate in 2022. J.D. was elected. Masters lost his race, but is running for Congress this cycle in Arizona. Neither of them still live in Silicon Valley, but are very closely tied to a lot of the richest people in the industry. So there's multiple Trump supporting events that are being plotted and pretty early too. Like, I'm remembering in 2020, there was one Trump event. I mean, obviously that was during COVID. So it's not quite apples to apples, but it was a huge mystery about who was even throwing this event. I remember driving around Silicon Valley, kind of following some half true tips to try to find who was doing this event. I think it was in Atherton, and it was being thrown by this guy, Scott McNeely, who was sort of a 2000s era web titan. But like, you know, now people are just proudly doing Trump events, no big deal. And that feels different than 4 years ago, certainly 8 years ago.
Teddy, another thing you reported first was a recent gathering of the Rockbridge Network, which was co-founded by J.D. Yeah. Vance, the Ohio senator, former private equity bro, and Chris Buskirk. They had about 100 major donors gather in Mar-a-Lago with the expectation of hearing from Donald Trump. They just had to hear from Trump over Zoom because he was up in New York where he's hanging out for his criminal trial. But we've talked about this before. J.D. Vance, theoretically, in this context, not only could be Donald Trump's running mate, and I've also heard that he's sort of at or near the top of the list right now for Trump, but one reason, theoretically, is that he could bring over some big money to the ticket, and Trump clearly needs the money. He's not in a fundraising hole, but compared to Joe Biden, he's trailing big time when it comes to raising money, and he's obviously paying off his personal legal expenses as well. Tell me more about this fundraiser and then where J.D. Vance might figure in terms of Trump's running mate.
Yeah, so there is a network of MAGA donors who, you know, we're not on the Romney-Ryan bundling leaderboards for sure, but are people who have kind of come up through the Trump era, are younger, you know, a lot of them come from Silicon Valley or at least ties are broadly to entrepreneurship, who have gotten involved with various kind of fundraising networks that have sprung up recently. And one of these is called Rockbridge, which is getting a lot of love from Trump. Trump called into Mar-a-Lago, which is a weird thing to say because he owns Mar-a-Lago, but he was supposed to be in Mar-a-Lago to address Rockbridge, which was, you know, certainly a nice nod to the group. And Trump was ultimately in New York, so he had this weird thing where he's on Zoom to a place that he owns where everyone else is gathered to basically see him in person, but then they don't. Reminds people of, like, you know, Zooming to for a private meeting with somebody who's in an office next door to you or something like that. And Donald Trump Jr. also spoke there a little bit later. And JD kind of is one of the leaders of this constellation of donors. And I definitely think that's a huge part of kind of Vance's pitch. Maybe not explicitly, but the Trump people have been not shy at all about the fact that the amount of money that people can bring to this endeavor is very much a part of the VP search process. And, you know, it's not, it's politics. So it's not like, you know, a quid pro quo where, you know, J.D. Vance says, you know, I'll trade you Peter Thiel and a first round draft pick for the VP choice. But J.D.'s ability to command, you know, Rockbridge types and, you know, sort of this new type of donor and people like Peter Thiel is a big reason why I think Vance is, yeah, certainly in the conversation. And we'll see what happens, obviously, but because other candidates have other donors that they can try to marshal on their behalf. But everyone is trying to kind of flex as much as they can to show Trump and his people that, you know, they have their own people.
Teddy, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about a running mate who is actually bringing money to the table. That would be Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s number two, Nicole Shanahan, and why Democrats are worried about her.
Hey, Powers That Be listeners, I'm here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you a curated list of gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. I use Etsy all the time and have for years. I bought my brother some artwork. I bought my wife some jewelry. I even bought a rug for our living room on Etsy. I love it. But there's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for friends and family members around the holidays or birthdays in my life. And sometimes I get super stressed trying to find the perfect thing. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found the perfect gift for a buddy who's just as into Cincinnati sports as I am, a hot cup of Joe Burrow mug. That's right, I found that on Etsy. It's amazing. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Powers That Be, everybody. I'm talking to my colleague, Teddy Schleifer, who knows the big donor beat like no other. Teddy, you wrote a piece last week about Nicole Shanahan, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s newly minted running mate. I think she was announced 2 or 3 weeks ago. She is a former Democrat. She is extremely wealthy. The cynical take is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. picked her simply to help fund the campaign. You had a funny line in your piece, though, which is, why are people thinking so much about a third-party candidate's running mate? Does anybody remember Jill Stein's running mate in 2016?
I wrote that line, and I actually did not even answer. Who was the running mate in 2016?
Listen to me, Google, Powers That Be listeners. Jill Stein, running mate, 2016. Because we did know, you and I had a conversation recently about
Right.
Gary Johnson's running mate. And we both remembered it was William Weld. Jill Stein's running mate in 2016 was, here it is, international human rights activist Ajamu Baraka. A 70-year-old political activist and a spokesperson for the Black Alliance for Peace. If you knew that, please DM me or Teddy, and we will send you a Puck tote bag. Anyway, Teddy, why do Democrats seem to care so much about Shanahan? And when I say care, it sounds like, according to your reporting, a lot of people are trying to pressure her to quit the ticket. Does that mean they're genuinely worried about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? Like, what is all the anxiety about?
So this came out after my story came out, but we learned that the day after Nicole Shanahan was chosen to be his VP, she cut a $2 million check to the campaign. Only $2 million. There could be more. You know, it's not a game changing amount of money, but there is very real concern among major Democrats and major donors that, you know, you add a zero to that or two zeros to that, and suddenly one of the big reasons why people discount Robert F. Kennedy, which is his lack of ballot access, suddenly that problem could go away. And suddenly Nicole Shanahan could be a game changer. Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me intellectually about the Democrats' relationship with Nicole is she has a proximity to major Democratic donors because she was a former Democrat. Lots of people in Silicon Valley know her personally, have her phone number. She's like one of their own. And that proximity has created, interestingly, two different approaches about how to deal with her and a real schism, kind of, I would say, in the anti-RFK coalition. There are two paths for you, Peter. Path one is use the fact that you know her to destroy her. And, you know, look, this ain't beanbag, as they say. And she chose to run for vice president of the United States. And that means she should get scrutiny. So if you are someone in Silicon Valley who has, you know, tantalizing, scintillating or politically damaging gossip to peddle to a Democratic oppo research firm about Nicole Shanahan, about the time you saw her do blah, 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 or, you know, did you ever look into this blah, blah with her? You might know that because you're in Silicon Valley with her and you can feed that to your friendly neighborhood operative. That's path one. Path two is almost the exact opposite of that. Path two argues that, hey, we know Nicole Shanahan. We have her cell phone number. Why not convince her with all of our charms and, you know, pleasantries to just drop off the ticket entirely? And that sounds naive. And I know that sounds crazy. Like, who would, you know, why would someone drop off the ticket? But I can tell you that among Silicon Valley donors and their kind of allied operatives in Washington, there is indeed a real belief, maybe naive belief, that she could be convinced. And indeed, there have been conversations, I would say somewhat staged by people in Silicon Valley that are friends of Nicole to convince her to do just that, which sounds crazy. But, you know, people are using every relationship they have to try to beat this ticket because they are indeed nervous about the role it could play in Joe Biden's defeat.
Well, Teddy, as we know at this point, and you write this in your story, there are no shortage of Democratic operatives in the constellation around Biden's reelection campaign working to damage Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign. So there will be some welcoming open arms for any Nicole Shanahan oppo that is flowing from the Bay Area to the 202. Teddy, thanks so much for joining me, buddy.
You bet.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.